Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
That time of the week again, the Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouthguard and get ready for an hour of nothing of the NRL Tour. Alrighty, round four is in the bag and we are back. Brock, what did you reckon?
Yeah, it was an entertaining round, two golden point games. So, you've got a little bit of a bugbear about last night that we'll get into.
Oh, I've got more than one bugbear from the round, but that's just rugby league in general. Start off as usual with a fast five, best, worst, low, high. Any questions coming out of the round? Who was your best?
My high was the Cowboys' golden point win last night. I thought they were in desperate need of it, obviously, and they ended up getting it in the end, but it was ugly, and it wasn't looking promising. Even with up to, you know, 3 or 4 minutes to go, they were still behind seven. It looked like Melbourne had just iced the game. They kicked to the corner as well, Melbourne, and it was just, you know, I guess just not a stroke of luck, but the Cowboys kept pursuing and eventually got there.
Now, if we're going to go with highlight first, mine was just two golden point games of the round. It's been a hint the first few weeks that we're going to get one, and it hasn't come to fruition, but we got two this week, so enjoyed both thoroughly, even though on one end of it, my team lost. What about your low light?
Manly's injury toll. It's just mounting up. And that's crippling at what I, you know, obviously perceive as a tough and entertaining side. So they've had enough, I guess, black eyes over the last month. And they just keep coming. The punches just keep coming for Manly. So old saying, I guess, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah, well, that was part of mine was the injuries, but also the quality of that game and also that Sharks-Titans game. Saturday pretty much depressed me. It was a pretty poor game. Started off pretty well with Penrith and Newcastle, but the two after it, I was pretty tired, to be honest.
Mm.
So, yeah, hopefully the standard lifts over the next few weeks for those sides. What about your best?
The Knights, 4 from 4. Totally unexpected, I guess. But they're probably playing the most attractive brand of footy I've watched over the first four rounds. But I guess the question that on most people's lips will be whether they can sustain it.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. When I watched that game with you, they know who they are. They've got...
Well, they lost their identity under Wayne Bennett. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, Wayne Bennett comes in and just plays boring as batshit, though. He didn't play to what the strengths were. They don't have bad halves. Like, Tyron Roberts, Jarrod Mullen, you've got to remember, has played Origin on their day. They can move the footy. They've both got a pretty good kicking game. They've got probably easily one of the best back lines in the competition. They're using that as a strength, and their forward pack's pretty no frills. So Rick Stone's definitely put things back to basics, and it's paying dividends at the moment.
Yeah, well, use the players that you've got to the best of their abilities.
Now, what about your... Oh, sorry, we're going to go my best. I had a kind of a three-way tie. No one really stood out exceptionally to me, but I had Newcastle there, as you said, just from the way they've been playing their football. Parramatta, showing that there is some ad-lib football out there, not having to play to that structured system. They pulled South apart. There was some pretty loose football. And the Roosters, I just love the way they run their shapes, even though they did play Canberra. Every time they ran that shape, there was a multiple pass options for them. They could have scored a multitude of ways, but they just pulled Canberra apart and even found time to tinker with their bench and take a couple of blokes off that had some niggles. So,
yeah,
they're a very impressive roster. But what about your worst?
The halves still getting hit off the ball. It's annoying me. It needs to be addressed. It didn't get addressed at all this weekend. Seems like the NRL is just going to put their head in the sand over it and hope it goes away. But it looks to me like it's going to take a very serious injury to someone, I probably shouldn't just pigeonhole it on halves. It's a lot of people getting hit off the ball or after they've passed the ball, in my opinion, that they could either pull out of, or if they're not pulling out of it, they surely know the ball's gone. They don't have to whack them as hard as what they do, grab onto them, or similar to kicks. You see players going really, really hard to charge down a kick. Once the kick goes, they readjust and just grab the player or slowly take them to the ground rather than being aggressive if they've still got the ball. So it's going to take a serious injury to one of our stars, and I don't want to see that happen. There's enough injuries already, and the game's tough enough without, you know, obviously adding more injury and more risk of injury with that sort of play.
Yeah, mine was just the Sharks. I know I probably picked on them in the last few weeks, but they're just disgusting, to be honest. I have no idea what's going on there. As I said, it was a lower game, but the first 4 weeks they've shown absolutely nothing.
Intercept try. They probably should have won round one against Canberra. So it could easily be 2-4.
Could be 2-4, but they're not.
Well, they're not.
It's getting ugly, though.
Same as the Knights. You could say the Knights could easily be 2-4, but that's footy. And those breaks are going to break the other way eventually in a long season. So.
No, I'm talking just the style of play in general, though. They just look lost. They're just taking hit-ups. It looks like an A-grade side, to be honest.
Mm.
Plenty of one-outs. I know they lost Farmer and Brown.
Barber. Yeah, losing
Brown. And now they're claiming about Barber, but Barber wasn't helping in the first place.
No, but you need consistency in those positions to get better. You know, look at Milford. He's slowly getting better.
Mm.
Having him off the field is definitely not helping.
It's just all around. I think the spine's really struggling. They're playing a really boring brand of football that is taking a million hit-ups. So something needs to change there. They need to spark up a little bit. But I suppose, what questions have you got coming out of this round?
The one I had was, do you think, you know, Newcastle obviously 4-4, do you think they'll make the eight? They would have been out of most people's eights at the start of the year. Do you think they'll end up in the eight?
Well, thinking probably on the basis of Origin, I'd probably say yes. If Bo Scott, who probably gets picked for New South Wales, and Gagai, who's probably a possibility, is there other players?
He's a definite.
Yeah, is there other players? You could say Matiaudi, who has played for Australia, would be in line, but you know he's playing off the bench for them at the moment, so I wouldn't see him probably in that frame. Is Leilua in the frame? God knows, we've got a million centres. We've got plenty of depth there, but depending on their draw during the Origin period, and if they only lose those one or two, I think it's highly possible. And with a 4-4 start,
yeah,
you basically look every year, you need to win half your games, 12 games, they're almost halfway there.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad way to be kicking off the season, that's for sure.
No.
Any other questions?
No.
Mine goes back to what you said about Manly. With the injury toll the way it is right now, would you be willing to put a pen through them?
No, I'm not going to put a pen through them, but at the moment they wouldn't be in my eight.
And the other one's the Sharks at 0-4.
No, they're gone. I didn't have them in my eight anyway.
No, I didn't have them in mine. I had them
for
on
that
the
reason,
fringe.
I just don't think they've got enough points in them.
I had them on the fringe, but the sad thing is, you know they're going to pick Gallen, so straight away they lose the heart and soul of their forward pack.
Fafita probably.
Front row, as I was going to say, I don't really impressed with Tarmow and many others running around. First, probably Cade Snowden and Woods have been the two form front rows for New South Wales. But Fafita, you know, with his minutes and what he offers in his best day, is quite possibly going to get picked. I don't know if they reach back.
I think it'd be a no-brainer. They'll pick him.
Mm.
I think
40 brings.
Marin as well, I suppose. Yeah, it depends. But he's definitely going to be in the mix.
Yeah, so I think there might be a couple that they lose, and they're already in a bad enough spot as it is. So.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, 0-4 is not really a good start. But they're pretty much the only questions I've got. We'll jump into the reviews of the games from the weekend. It kicked off Friday night, the Parramatta Eels with that great win, as we said, 29-16 over South. And probably more impressive, again, the transformation under Brad Arthur is just the spirit of never giving up, because they're another team, much like Manly, but still fighting on, who are severely affected by injury and suspension.
Yeah, well, they are. And to come up with that victory over South Sydney was incredible. It didn't look good early. I thought South sort of looked on top, and maybe they took the foot off the pedal, thinking it might be an easy night. But Parramatta just, they're not scared to step out of their structure. Like when the structure works, they stick to it, but they've got some bend in them, Parramatta. They don't mind changing their style to best suit the game. Mm. Which I think is a sign of a very good coach and very good coaching.
And more impressive again, just the aggression. He's playing a much older style of football in that regard. It's not the wait for you to come to us, three men in, catch and drop. They're being super aggressive. In particular, I enjoyed watching Denny Wicks and Darcy Lussick team up and just bash everybody.
Yeah,
they're making sure that everybody that plays Parramatta leaves the field knowing they've played the Eels, regardless of the result.
Yeah, they ran some different shapes as well, which was refreshing. Applicable to, I think, South's defence. I really like watching Parramatta play. Whether they, you know, the week before they went down in flames in New Zealand. Obviously, the week before that they had a lot of injuries against the Dogs. But the games the Eels are in are always entertaining. And that's probably something you can't say about the majority of the teams in the game at the moment, because they all tend to play a similar style of footy, but Parramatta are definitely entertaining.
Yeah, well,
I think at the crowd at Parramatta, they're a massive crowd. So,
well, I think this week I saw somebody post today. Last week they saw memberships was 15,000, and I think after the weekend they're up to 19,500.
Mm.
So slowly but surely they're starting to build a little momentum. Oh,
Parramatta, I love a bandwagon.
Oh, people are fairly impressed on South side of things. I'm not really surprised. We said that we thought they were weeks ahead. Obviously being prepped for the Nines, prepped for the World Club Challenge. I can't really defend it, but I think we've learned how important Dylan Walker is also, because they lack some potency on the edges there.
Well, you know that I really, really liked them to get beat by the Tigers a week before, but that obviously didn't come to fruition. But the Tigers had their chances, and
yeah, they'll let down.
The difference was the Eels took theirs, and
100%.
Tigers
forwards held their own again, but the halves and the backs last week. Well, the backs didn't really have a say. Brooks and Moses were near absent, but Chris Sandow.
And the talk of South going through undefeated, ridiculous.
Oh, never going to happen. And you're going to chuck in the Origin period again. Anyone that even talks about being undefeated these days is absolutely kidding themselves. Yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah.
If you're able to get 20 wins, I think, out of 24, that would be ridiculous.
10's ridiculous.
Yeah. Undefeated, wow. That's a massive call. But
well, there was a TAB market for it.
Oh, I know. I saw the market. And you got $4 or $4.75 or something like that if you would have gotten to Parramatta. To be the first loss on their record, but I think that's a welcome wake-up call. You've got to put Walker back in the equation. I go back to exactly what I've said before. Joel Reddy's got to be out of that team. There's got to be someone else there. Just errors galore.
Yeah.
And it's been week after week. Like, he grabs a try here or there. He does one or two. For one or two good things he does in a game, he does five or six bad.
Yeah, I didn't think he was the only player out there that struggled. Oh, they just look fatigued.
I'm not defending that, but watch the first 4 weeks and find a game where he hasn't made
two. I really struggled to work out their spacings on their edges. Their spacings on their edges were very wide, and it just looked like they weren't working together defensively, which is something you not often see with from South Sydney, which was a bit of a shock.
Comes with change also. We know Orvar's still suspended. Then you take Walker out. Reddy's only just moved back in. So there's a few spots there, which was my gripe at the start of the year. I wasn't so confident that the edge defence would cope and that Orvar would be a really big loss, which it has proved to be. And
also, I think Parramatta won the middle of the field. And it's as simple as that.
Big time. And they were better in the halves. Keary and Reynolds were absent somewhat from that game when they needed two players to step up, whereas Sandow and Norman, I thought, were Parramatta's two best.
Yeah, they were.
Both had a hand in everything. So good on the Eels. They've got the Tigers this week. That should be a cracker game. Two teams on the rise. And the big clash, it's the Dogs versus South Sydney, the Golden Point game we had last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or they kicked the field goal.
I don't think it went a Golden Point.
They kicked that field goal, Hodkinson, didn't they?
It was a cracker
game. That was like the second or third week in a row, wasn't it? I think they had a one-point win or something like that. But that should be an absolute cracker on Easter Friday. Speaking of the Dogs, they were the other Friday night game, 25-24 in Golden Point.
It's Easter Monday.
Over the Tigers. Easter Monday. It's
Easter Monday.
It's the Good Friday.
Oh, you're talking about South Dogs is Good Friday.
Dogs.
Yeah, and the Tigers Eels is Monday.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Dogs, like I said, 25-24, one in Golden Point over the Tigers, and similar to last week, I think the difference here was the Tigers did post the points, which they didn't post the week before, but they didn't close the game out.
Yeah, it was a strange game, really strange game. Like, the Tigers looked all over them. The Dogs they wanted to finesse the ball a little bit, play a little bit sideways, and the Tigers' defensive system worked well. And then, the Tigers just took their chances. As you said, the week before, nothing seemed to stick. But for the first 60 minutes on Friday night, everything seemed to stick. And, it was...
Brooks much improved, actually got involved, touched the footy, Tedesco.
I was actually a bit worried at halftime. I thought, like, 6-all. I just thought the Tigers had a lot of chances they probably... Not that they didn't take, but I thought they got the better of possession and probably the chances. But then they came out of the gates and... posted three quick tries, but they just couldn't hold on.
Yeah, well, the Bulldogs, I thought, looked a bit rattled or frazzled, like you said, purely on the readjustments. Two major late changes. You lose Brett Morris
in a warm-up.
You lose Tim Laffey, so that really messes up your structure. They said that Josh Jackson...
Well, they had time to adjust to Laffey. Like, Morris is in the warm-up. That's hard. That's really hard. Because you can't obviously have a player running the captain's run or, structurally change your team. Your whole format and basis of your play is going to change, particularly for a fullback. Like, it's just a key position.
Yeah, well, I think even defensively, centre. And Josh Jackson got caught out once or twice because he was plugging that gap. Shows the difference in speed and decision-making.
You've got to pick specialists.
You need to be. So that hurt. And Tony Williams basically played 5-8 again, but I've got to give him a rap. I didn't think he was too bad.
No, he was. He was good.
Thought Frankie Pritchard starting again was pretty good on that edge.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Pritchard. I don't know whether he gets enough minutes for the Dogs.
No, well, I think that's the problem with having all the monsters, though. Yeah. You've got Clemmer on the bench, Tim Brown's been valuable, Greg Eastwood, they've got a couple of internationals sitting on the bench waiting to get on the field.
I think the format of their bench will change once Josh Reynolds comes back, because I think you'll find Mbile slot into the bench, they might play a little bit more mobile, which I think will suit them. They've got too many monsters there, I think, at the moment.
I think they just need to play more direct and cut out all the passing crap, like I've said before. They go too sideways for the amount of big boppers they do have.
Mm.
I think if they just laid a platform, they'd be absolutely fine and get those players more involved. But
monkey off Josh Morris's back.
Yeah, he got rid of it, finally. It's about time he scored a try. It's taken long enough for a new
South Wales. It was almost a year, I think.
It was a year. It was 20-something games.
Yeah, crazy.
Absolutely ridiculous. But I thought Leisha was good. Mbai obviously closed things out again. Those forwards. Tigers, Tedesco, Sue, Tapau, I thought they were all good again. But yeah, Jason Taylor, you can take plenty from that. But you'd be disappointed 2 weeks in a row not getting results.
Oh, yeah, you'd like to have got two out of those 4 points.
Yeah.
Gone really close to winning both games.
And they're the ones at the end of the year you might look at and say they're two of the bigger sides. But if we were to jag those points, we'd be
further up. Yeah, you just got to make sure your next two close games, you win them, I guess, to even things out. But
yeah, well, Tigers, as you said, they're going to play the Eels this week. They're away in the big clash on Friday. South versus the Bulldogs, the grand final rematch. Saturday kicked off Newcastle Knights 26-14 over the Penny Panthers. And again, very impressive by Newcastle, just sticking to what they are. They know their identity as a team. Rough and tumble forward pack. They make sure you know you've been in a contest. Clydesdale's been solid out of 9. The halves looking very good. And the back line, probably the most potent weapon. And they're awesome coming out of yardage with those backs. Leilua, Gagai, all these guys chip in. They make lots of metres. And when they move the football, they look brilliant.
It was a tough day for the club. We went 0-3 up in Newcastle. We just looked out enthused in first grade. I know Ivan Cleary was very unhappy at half-time with the performance. But I guess, again, you could look at the Bulldogs. The Panthers had some changes in key positions again this week. Obviously, the late withdrawal of James Seguiaro was a real knife in the back. But full credit to Newcastle. They played good footy. They completed a lot better than Penrith, I think. And when they had their opportunities, they took them. They defend very aggressively, Newcastle. I like how aggressive they are. And they look to get up and force errors. And Penrith looked a little bit rattled in the first half. But I definitely think Penrith came up with enough chances to win the game. They just couldn't execute.
My gripe with Penrith at the moment is they look a little bit too happy trying to throw the ball around every single play. They were going side to side, not earning the right to move the football.
Yeah, I think it's a fine balance because last year they were probably criticised in the finals of not having enough skill in them to post enough points to go with those better sides. So I think Cleary's obviously tried to address that. But again, with trying to play more expansive comes more errors. More errors gives you risk of losing games, obviously. So they're in a bit of a transition phase, I think, Penrith. Just trying to get a little bit more expansion in their game. And I think they've got a roster built to play that way, to play the skillful way. But I guess they've just got to learn the balance.
I agree, but you've still got to play direct. You can't go three or four sets ahead.
Well, I think
the obvious
counter for that is they lost Seguiaro, who's their direct. He's direct.
But there was no big boppers punching in and getting a quick play of the ball.
Hands,
turn inside, hands, shift here, shift there. It looked like game Oztag at times.
They were out enthused, I thought, first half. And they probably were a little bit sideways.
And probably my other gripe, and Peter Wallace, 2 weeks in a row, has just been absolutely speed bumped. I don't know if he doesn't like tackling. I know he's getting spotted up on, but he needs to fix that up. Because people are going to keep looking at that in video sessions. They're just going to keep tearing him apart, to be honest.
Yeah. Structurally, Penrith a few times got caught out not getting off the line. Not going into too much depth of how structurally they defend, but they definitely were caught out a few times not following, obviously, the system that's in place. And I guess Wallow falls into that category, but they did a lot of tackling first half as well, which was difficult. But there's a lot of players there, not under pressure, but who I guess Cleary will be giving a tap on the shoulder to this week at some stage.
Yeah, well, I was impressed.
Yeah, especially considering they're coming back home and they're, what are they now, 2-2? And they've got the Red Hot Cowboys coming in now. And the Cowboys are going to be looking for another victory. They're not out of the woods at all. So it bodes as a difficult or very exciting night on Monday night. I think it'll be a really good game.
Yeah, well, 2-2 for them. Very impressed, Newcastle. Jared Mullen, I thought he really controlled the game along with Roberts.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're probably not giving Newcastle enough credit.
I think credit. I think Penrith were...
No, I'm not saying us. I think we were obviously across it, but a lot of people were sort of quick to criticise Penrith. I think people should have been quick to give credit to Newcastle, especially Newcastle, it now seems like they've got that home field advantage back. Like, a lot of sides are rolling up there. Like, the Titans won on Alex McKendo last year.
Mm.
Like, tell me 10 years ago if something like that happened, any side would get anywhere near Newcastle.
No, going there was a pain in the ass.
Yeah. But... And the crowd seems to be, again, they're loud, they're behind their team, so
well, they get
good signs in Newcastle.
They get even angrier this week because Tarek Sims is back, so he's going to be joining in on this little hit squad, and there's plenty of angry bastards in that side, so
yeah.
Him, Jeremy Smith and Bo Scott, once Corbin gets back, things are going to be very, very mean when you play Newcastle. They've got the Dragons this week to play for the Alex McKinnon Cup, the inaugural, so that's a good touch by both those clubs. That's at home again.
Massive chance to go 5-0.
Yeah, good luck to the Dragons going up there. I think they'll be absolutely jacked up this week. The Newcastle Knights and the Cowboys, as you said, they travel to play Penrith this week. That will be a big game for both clubs. The Cowboys look like they got the monkey off their back last night and played themselves back into form. And Penrith, they definitely need to wake up, because otherwise I think they could have a score put on them if the Cowboys play the way they did the last 20 minutes last night. Saturday again, Cronulla versus the Titans, 24-22, late winner. But otherwise, this game was, you never really knew who was going to win this game.
No.
It was in the balance, it was back and forth. No one really dominated or controlled it. You couldn't really get a good read on things. It was a bit of a mess, to be honest.
Yeah, it was. It was a mess. Even the try scored were a mess. I mean, you had Chris Onington being brought off the field, and Dave Taylor scores. You had the intercept try, tries off kicks. Mm. Just, yeah, it was... It was a sign of, two teams really struggling to find an identity and find some form.
Yeah, well, I've got to give a rap probably to Kane Elgee. I thought he was pretty stable.
He was very good.
In his first
grade. First game, he was great.
He played very direct. He took the line on a couple of times. I thought he was probably better than the season on the night.
I thought he defended pretty well too, which was
he's put a bit
probably my main concern.
Put a bit of size on. He was an absolute stick. He's still not the biggest bloke in the world, but he looks like he's shot up a little bit from the kid I watched play under 20.
Yeah, so. He's got me excited. He looks like he's got a lot of promise, the kid.
Well, they've got the talk now. It's definitely between them and Manly. Manly have chucked in a two-year offer with more money, but the Titans have offered 3 years.
Yep.
So the Titans are pretty much, we're not resigned to they're resigned to the fact that either him or Caesar is going to be going, but they're going to try and lock up one of them to make sure they've got a partner for Cherry Evans. Because at the moment,
well, I was very worried about losing Caesar, but after the weekend, I thought,
Caesar's back in talk with the Dogs, and obviously Manly are coming hard for LG, so they're going to have to make sure they get one of the deals across the line, pretty much.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it. I don't think LG would go to Manly.
Well, it depends what they're offering, I suppose.
Like, he's a Gold Coast kid. If the deals are anywhere near each other, there's no way you'll get them, Manly.
Well, they've got the extra year. I don't know what the money's like, but again, it's all going to come down to, in the end, probably what's best for him.
Yeah.
But the Titans said they need to get one across the line, and all I can say is, duh, you do need to get one across the line. So that's their number one priority before this other outside recruitment they've been speaking of. Make sure that Cherry Evans has got a partner. But James Roberts there, he took that pass at the end. I felt bad for Wade Graham. I thought he tried pretty hard.
Well, I mean, if he misses that, they probably go the length the other way and score. Yeah, we're not talking about
it. Well, it's the playmaker's curse, isn't it? You throw some good ones, you throw some
damn
bad
ones.
Damn
if you do, damn if you don't. That's right.
Otherwise, I thought
more to the point around the fact the game was still close, is just how often they took the two.
Yeah, well,
they took the two at two when they were two up to go four up. I just didn't get that at all.
On the Triple M NRL, and they were saying, was that a lack of confidence? And they were just playing it off as, that's... Between me and the coaching staff, I have to talk to them and they tell me what they want to do. And they took multiple shots at goal.
I heard Flanagan in the press conference say that I'll leave it up to the players.
Yeah, well, they're both going the opposite way.
Contradicting each other. Yeah, it was a really strange one. I thought, you go up by four. Well,
they copped it
The Titans still scored a converted try.
They copped it the week before, I think, when they had a couple opportunities. Or the week before that, they didn't take the two in a game. And then this week, they took three.
Especially being down... I understand the philosophy of we're going all in. We're either taking them all or we're not. But well, at that point in the game...
That last one did nothing.
That's when you're winning and losing the game. Mm-hmm. If it's 5 minutes in, and I can understand taking the two. Mm-hmm. But with 10 to go...
Yeah, the last one
it's
changed.
It's totally different.
It didn't change a thing. They still needed to score.
You're right, exactly. Because it didn't ice the game.
It created more urgency for the Titans.
It did.
And that showed Cronulla's position. They were going, okay, we'll take the two and just hope to God that we hold on.
Yeah.
Worst case, they were waiting on a shot at goal for them not to lose that game. So, yeah, it was pretty...
It was sort of like, we'll get the two and we'll just hope we hang on. Give me the ball, let's tap it, let's score and ice the game. Let's put destiny in our own hands. It screamed of a lack of confidence.
Well, that's
for sure.
9 losses in a row at Remondus now.
That's crazy.
The prison's not the prison anymore.
No. We've lost there. You've lost some tipping points there.
Yeah, well, I keep going back to
it. I definitely did last year.
Yeah, well.
When I was tipping.
It's not going to get any better. They're playing the Roosters this week. and they're away. So that's, I don't think that's going to be fun for them. The Titans play the Broncos, and the Titans, I still thought, I've been full of spirit the last few weeks. I'm looking forward to watching this.
Well, there was one game we weren't in, and that's the Penrith game. And I think even that we're in probably for 20 minutes.
The early tries kind of took the wind out of your sails.
But we got smashed. But
they're at home to the Broncos, so I'm looking forward to that game.
The one point out of this game for me was the Bo Falloon tackle.
Mm.
He got 1 week for that.
Yeah, well, that Trbojevic got a higher grading for his tackle, which I thought was a ripper.
And it,
that was textbook.
And Paulo got 9 weeks.
All I can say is Trbojevic, they're fighting the charge today. And after watching those two, if Falloons is not worse than Trbojevic, I'm not here. Trbojevic should get off without a
charge. Is it the same committee giving the gradings?
Oh, God, I don't pay attention to
it. Or is there a committee for each game?
I don't even bother.
If there's a committee for each game, I could sort of understand it. But it's the same people that are looking at both those tackles and they're grading Trbojevic's higher.
Trbojevic's was great tackle.
That's ridiculous.
I didn't even see what was wrong with it. He jammed him front on. Yeah, the player leaned back, but he went straight on his back. So
needs to be an investigation.
I'm a bit dumbfounded how they come up with that. But if Falloon's only got a week, Trbojevic is getting off. I'm backing that in right now.
Yeah, but it depends also whether they're willing to roll the dice and go and challenge it.
They are.
Oh, they're going to. Okay.
Manly challenging theirs. I don't know about Falloon, but...
Falloon should bloody kiss his lucky stars.
Manly have gone straight in after hearing about that grading for Falloon's tackle.
Absolutely.
They showed it again today and said, are you kidding? He's hit him clean and the players leaned back a little bit. He went flat on his back. Falloon's just thrown the bloke, almost put him straight on his melon. He's lucky.
He's got to the point where almost you can't lift at all.
No, unless you're
going to... It's like going back to...
Unless you hit and drive, where you've got that kind of control of the legs and they're in, you got your shoulder
and the ribs. You can drive, through the tackle.
Lift away from the body and like pivot with the legs. That's the big problem. Falloon's was that technique where you lift up and then you get that twist with your arms, pretty much losing all control. He didn't have his head tucked into the rib cage and his shoulder driven in.
So
it was an ugly tackle. But they got the Broncos this week. Cronulla, like I said, no easier. They got to go play the Roosters. But we're speaking of Manly. They went down 12-4 to the Dragons on the weekend. Who, again, they jagged a second win after all the criticism. I'm still not really impressed. This was another game that kind of made me a bit sleepy. But Manly hurting further. Lawrence obviously going to be out long term now with a back injury. Starling re-injuring his knee. Coming back on the weekend, Fleddy Mateo in a very ugly tackle, who's been pretty good for them the first few weeks. They're battling big time.
I think their attacks showed signs it's going to improve, the Dragons, but they still don't look like they've got a lot of points in them. And
well, they got the
this
problem.
Is the type of win they're going to have to grind out. And this, to me, is sort of a blueprint for the Sharks. You know, of what they're trying to do.
The Sharks,
it's obviously not working for them.
Doing the right thing probably as far as metres in their forward pack, but they're just stupid errors.
Yeah.
They should just kick every set on the 4-4, the 5th, and wait until they get an error inside the red.
Yeah.
They should just bash sides out of the game, what they used to, and then wait until they get a good
ball.
But I
just think when they get into the red, they're really struggling to score.
Oh, they panic. And they panic when they're coming out. They throw dumb offloads and make errors.
And this game probably highlights what I said in the Fast Five. Like, my lowlight is just Manly have got no points in at the moment because they're just so injury-riddled.
They were saying that the other day. Oh, what about the points? I'm like, well, what do you expect Foran and Cherry Evans to do with
no
platform?
No go for
you got to go sideways. And even Foran, he wasn't 100%.
No, he wasn't.
I'm very surprised he's bothered.
Or even if he was, he didn't have confidence in the fact that he was fit and healthy, that's for sure.
No, I will give them one thing. They still only let 12 points in. I think they only let two tries.
Oh, definitely.
And they battled on.
They still got the grit, but they're just lacking the...
The Dragons, I'm still not consoled on this whole thing between Widdop and Benji. I don't think they like each other. Benji's looking for the knockout player and saying that he's in control and that's what they agreed on. Then Widdop's coming out saying, nah.
The most ridiculous thing in rugby league is halves talking about who's in control and who isn't in control.
Well, they play
What deems who is in control is what the defence does. You should be basing your attack around what you're looking at in front of you. You can't... It'd be like saying that, you know, whoever they're playing, for example, who have they got this weekend? The Dragons.
Newcastle.
They've got Newcastle. Saying that Newcastle's got the best left-edge defence in the league, but we're going to attack their right-hand side because that's where our controlling half is. Mm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the problem is Benji's looking for these one knockout plays all the time, and he makes some bad errors. And a few of the games have been absolute shockers. And Widdop comes from this Melbourne school, where you play the percentages, you run through, you grind out your sets, you try and force repeat. So he's getting frustrated.
Yeah. Well, if it's good enough for Greg Alexander, and Greg Alexander said similar to what you were saying, that Widdop should be getting the majority of the touches because he's got more composure.
For Christ's sake,
he's got more composure. I think he's got a better kicking game. And the Dragons are just going to be better off with him steering the ship and then adding a little bit of salt and pepper here and there.
And I've got to throw this out there again. Benji's getting very close to creating another toxic environment like he did at the Tigers. I know it's not in those stages, but if you ruin this relationship with Widdop, who was their big signing and almost won the Dally M last year.
What gives you the impression it's toxic?
It's toxic. When they're coming out on the same day and having completely different views, they said, oh, Benji said this is what you've agreed on. And he's going, nah, that's not what we've agreed on.
Okay.
So there's two different things going on, but I think he's starting to... There's a bit of a jibe there. I don't think he's too happy. And I'd be pretty angry as well, because some of the errors he's coming up with... He ripped him on the weekend, actually. I don't know if there's video on the highlights, but he gave it to him.
Widdop did.
He made an error, like first, second tackle in the red zone, trying to come up with a miracle play. And it was the second or third time, and Widdop was not happy at all. It wasn't a pat on the back or, come on, mate. He absolutely shredded him. So I think Benji needs to pull his head in. I still don't know why they paid so much money for him.
Well, it's interesting. Like you said, it's a clash in styles. Widdop's come from Melbourne, which is very, you know, we play the percentages and we're disciplined.
Ego on Benji's part.
Benji's come from the Tigers, where they just played this open attacking style. So
he's the one who came out and said, I can't do those things anymore. I'm going to be a mature number seven. He's making more errors than ever. So I think he needs to pull his head in and mend things with Widdop, and they'd be a lot better side.
Yeah, as I said, I was never a halfback, and I don't profess to know a lot about halfback play, but... If it's good enough for Greg Alexander and he's saying that Widdop should be taking control and most of the touches, I think that makes sense to me.
I think we saw when they were dominant last year, Widdop was getting most of the football and they were winning games.
Well, maybe it is the fact that they're not posting a lot of points. I mean, they're going to Benji because he's not renowned for, you know, come on up with those sparky
plays. But he's doing this stupid crap at the start of the game. That Tigers game.
Oh, look, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying maybe that's why, you know, the pressure of the fact that they're not posting many points.
They're not building pressure. He's just trying to come up with knockout punches.
Yeah, and the man to build pressure for you is Widdop.
Yeah, and that kills your side in general. I'd be frustrated going back to what we play as forwards. There's nothing that kills me more than a seven who doesn't have to get dirty, doesn't have to do all the extra work when you make stupid errors.
But then gives a ball
away. If you're going to give the footy away, first, second play, we're in the red zone and we just got the ball back, you're not my friend.
No.
You need to be smarter. So I think they need to sort that out. But they were pretty good. They grinded things out. I thought Dugan playing on with that ankle injury was pretty good. Nightingale was close to their best, I thought.
He's a crack.
21 tackles as a winger.
What a player.
That's pretty massive. And Manly, I've got to give respect to. With all those injuries, they still battled on, defended pretty hard. But they're at home this week to the Raiders. I think if the Raiders are going to grab a win, this is it. They've been in most games. They definitely weren't in the Roosters game, but if they're going to get their confidence back, now's the time of the wounded Manly side. Last time they went to Manly, they got beat by 50 or something the week after they beat Melbourne. And as we said, the inaugural Alex McKinnon Cup between Newcastle and the Dragons this week up there at Newcastle, that should be a great game as well.
Yeah, great.
But Sunday, the Warriors went down to the Broncos 24-16. Taylor two halves, first half. Pretty much all the Broncos.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
They had all the football. Everything was going their way.
The Warriors, nothing stuck for the Warriors in the first half, did it?
Nah, they had a few passes, but also they just got caned on the penalty in the possession side of things. They had no football.
Was it just me, or was this game? Did this game have a lot of penalties in it early?
Ridiculous amount. Yeah. I thought the Warriors got the short end of the stick in particular. They got absolutely bashed in the first half.
Yeah.
Second half, I'm going to give them a rap, though. They made their own luck. They come out and just thought, okay, we've been absolutely caned. Let's just let it ride.
Yeah.
They played their power game. They worked off offloads, quick play the balls, grabbed a few tries. Johnson finally decided to join in on a game. I thought Townsend was brilliant all game, but Johnson chipped in when it mattered somewhat. But
Townsend just plays straight. Yeah, pushes
he
does. Up.
And he works off that system. He always pushes through that. Like, Johnson should push up on offloads more like Townsend does, especially with the speed he's got. He'd score a lot of tries. But Townsend, I thought Ryan Hoffman was epic again. Simon Mannering, those two are just way too reliable.
Yeah.
And the bench forwards again, Lasone and Vette, get excited watching those two big boppers trying to tear people.
Lola here had a bit of a crashing to earth, didn't he? He didn't have his greatest day out.
He was flat.
Bit of a lot of learning to come out of that game for Lola here.
Well, 4 weeks in, playing full-time NRL, he looked very tired.
Yeah. And that's a classic thing that first grade coaches say. That often happens.
Playing as a half, you know, not having to cover all that ground. Fullback's new to him, so he's also getting his motor adjusted to having to fill in now that Sam Tompkins is going to be out for, you know, 6 weeks apparently. But I was pretty impressed by the Warriors. I thought they were hard done by. That penalty at the end, I've seen that a million times in the line.
Yeah.
I was pretty disappointed. And then the one after that was a knock on. Touched a Broncos player and McCulloch put the ball down after. I don't know they didn't see that.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
But, I'm not going to say they were robbed. They definitely weren't robbed. They were in it. They hurt themselves in the first half. Brisbane, slowly getting better. Like you said, the halves. Hodges was very good, but we find out he's torn his hamstring. So
ouch.
That's definitely going to hurt. They supposedly get Copley back this week, but the best player on the park for Brisbane was Parker again. Yeah, I thought Alex Glenn, again, very close to one of their best, not getting as much credit for all the dirt work he done, but he was epic.
Glenn and Parker are the two workers, aren't they? They're just invaluable.
Mm. And this week, like
Benny Hunt's playing good footy.
Yeah, oh, he's running the show. He's trying to bring Milford into things
just
more and more.
Yeah, not that he didn't convince me last year, but I thought maybe he's just on a run. But no, he's really mature.
He's a good
footballer.
Seven. He was just wait. He just had to wait, like I said, all those hurdles, all the
lockdown. Yeah, but
it was all learning.
It was all learning from him. Still, wasn't ready.
But I thought he never got a crack. He never got to start. He had to play almost 100 games before they gave him a start.
Yeah.
Other halves like Cherry Evans have been thrown straight in and got to show their ability. He was blocked out because they had two State of Origin players. And then afterwards they brought Prince over.
I think it says a lot for the fact that you should stick. And I've said this before on the podcast. You should stick with your halves.
He could have stuck
with your halves. You develop them and you work on them and you give them opportunities. And you bleed them in and you don't give up on them.
Well, I still say that they're very lucky he stayed because he got offered to go to Newcastle.
Yeah, well, you could look at it both ways. The fact that who really would have signed him?
Plenty. After some of his four or five offers, and Newcastle were the big one.
Yeah.
They weren't basic money. He's one of the only halves that had to be blocked out in this modern age. There's a lot of guys that have got straight in. Foran got chucked in at 18. Cherry Evans got straight in. Hodgkinson got straight in, played
Caesar. Yeah, I just think it says a lot
Caesar
for,
went straight in.
It says a lot for developing them, giving them more time.
I think there's development, but I reckon he was ready to go. He was just
he probably was,
out.
But...
coaching decisions and then...
How many halves do you see come in? And well, Blake Green's probably a classic example of who just bounce around from club to club because they can't really fit in and then they end up in England. But come back and he's clearly good enough, just needed time to develop.
No, he just never got the chance in Myers, which is a bit of a joke. But they got the Titans this week, so Battle of Queensland sides. They're away up at Rabina, hopefully a big crowd after they got a win. And the Warriors, they travel away to the Storm. I don't see that as a factor. We've been down there. There's plenty of Kiwi support the two times we've been to Amy Park. And they usually pose a problem for Melbourne style of play.
Yeah.
So I don't know
really be a good game.
What to expect. But this is usually the Anzac game. Now it's going to be the Easter game, so... should be an absolute cracker. The other Sunday game, not much to talk about in this one. The Roosters 34-6 over Canberra. They were very clinical. Six of the seven backline members scored. Mitchell Pearce had a hand in four tries.
Yeah, it could have been more too.
Maloney running the football. I think the only reason it wasn't more is because they experimented.
They did.
They took Rory Hargraves off after his calf problem very early. He let Napa and Evans play more minutes so he could get a look at them, which is smart. He even gave Kiwi 50 minutes or so extra against his old club, and just because of the position they were in. He mixed up the back rows, took Gare off, let Napa play some back row, and Ferguson, obviously the big one, come out of this. They took him off, and now they find out he's going to be out for 4 months with that foot injury. But it is a big loss, but...
Well, Kenny Dow moves back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably Nene McDonald.
They've got a Kiwi international, and then they've got three kids in Jack Goodsall, Brent Elliott, and Nene McDonald, who all played
first
New South match. Wales, Queensland... under-20s, and two of them played for Australia.
Mm.
So I think Nene McDonald's the first option there. He's the big boy, breaks tackles, very good in yardage, so not too much changes for them, but there's no other way to sum it up. They just bash Canberra. Canberra don't have that star quality. They didn't
Where
hold
to for Ricky Stewart? He looks...
Well, he's still whinging about roster turnover, and they're building that roster.
So basically saying this year's a write-off?
Oh, I don't know. That was more the impression I was getting the other day, and that everyone should aspire to be like the Roosters. Canberra's not going to be like the Roosters.
They don't really have the pulling power, do they?
No, and that's more what when he was getting out of building, he wants to keep...
But I do think the NRL needs to look at ways of how to improve Canberra, because I hate watching Canberra like the way they are now. We both grew up with Canberra being a powerhouse. And I guess Melbourne's sort of taken over Canberra, haven't they? Because Canberra were getting all those Queensland sort of players, like Melbourne obviously having the big three. Not to say that they're getting all of them, and that comes back to recruitment, but I think a strong Canberra, it's good for the game. They've been at the bottom for too long, in my opinion. Like the last sort of 15 years, how many times have they made the finals? Not many, and when they have, they've
skipped in 7th and 8th, that's
when when's the last time they played in a preliminary final?
Oh, I don't know about preliminary.
That's what I'm saying. That's
finals difference.
Realistically, finals, if you're in the bottom four in finals, you're there for TV time. How often we see teams win from outside the top four rarely ever happens. Those teams are there to fill in spots to make sure that the final series has got extra games and, we cash in. But
well,
the NRL does
need to do something because, as I said to you, they pulled $1 million+ out of the South Logan program in the Queensland Cup setup because they produce a gem like Milford.
And he goes.
And then the Broncos just buy him.
I really think we're going to do something for Canberra.
The Broncos should have been the ones developing him if they found him, but they didn't. So Canberra had the shits and said, well, what's the point? So now they've pulled that out. get the $1 million and they're just going to steal someone else's kid, or they're going to try to. That was pretty much what they said.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad, because they've dug out some absolute gems in there. And I watched the Mounties play on the weekend. They're undefeated in the New South Wales Cup. And I think there's a few players there that are ready to play first grade. It's just a matter of whether Ricky Stewart's going to make wholesale changes and dent the confidence, which it can do after a couple of losses.
Yeah, but like, or, they're not really going anywhere. You know, like,
I'll tell you the one.
Just give him the opportunity.
I'll tell you the one who has to play first grade, and I've been banging on about it last year that he should have got him in there earlier, was Jack Ahern. I watched him play again on the weekend. Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the fact that he's not the fastest fullback in the world or whether he doesn't like him as a ball player, but I've watched him play fullback and I've watched him play six. He's a first grader. If anyone needed a decent ball playing fullback in an NRL squad on the cheap, he's a bloke I'd roll the dice on. And again, every single week I've watched him, it wouldn't matter if he was playing six or one. He'd fit in both.
Yeah.
I know Rapana's been good. I know Whiten's been good. But I think you could strengthen your whole side. I don't think Edric Lee's been crash hot, to be honest, to start the year. I'd be almost tempted to punt him, put Jackie Whiten back there, knowing how good of a defender he is, and put Ahern there. He brings the ball play. He runs the football. He chips in. He just takes some. He's pretty much like Moylan as far as the ball playing is concerned. If you want to take pressure off your halves, he's your man. But, you know, I don't think he's going to do that. I think they're going to persist with Whiten, who has been good, but I just think they could plug two good...
We'll find a spot for him.
Plug two holes by having Whiten plug up that centre spot where you know he's such a dangerous defender, and then having Ahern coming at fullback. But, yeah, and Sammy Williams I've been watching too. I haven't given up on Cornish, but Sammy Williams has been dominant in New South Wales Cup, and he led him to the finals the other year and never should have been removed from that club. So, don't know what else to say, but the Roosters, powerful. They get Cronulla this week at home. Christ, if Cronulla keep playing the way they are, that's going to be another towel up, that's for sure. And Manly is who Canberra are playing at Brookvale. I'm probably going to back Canberra in, to be honest. If they turn up and show some of the effort they showed the first few weeks against this wounded Manly, they've got a good chance, but that depends on how their attitude is when they turn up. Manly are wounded, but you know what they're going to bring. Usually they're just going to bring the kitchen sink regardless of the circumstances. The round closed out last night. Another Golden Point game. The Cowboys getting home 18-17 over the Storm. I thought the Storm and them were pretty sloppy in the first half. There was lots of errors, lots of turnovers. Melbourne obviously grabbing a couple of tries though, going in up at the break. And the Cowboys, I felt, weren't really in this game until the last 20 minutes, where all of a sudden they just started rolling forward and doing what you'd expect from...
Well, Melbourne didn't really put them out of the game, did they?
Nah, never. But I still don't think we should have played Cronk. I know people were saying he didn't look too hindered. I didn't see him really too much. He got hit a few times as well with that ankle problem. I would have been happy him just not playing and risking him, because he was on the deck a few times during that game. I think it's way too early for us to be rolling the dice with one of the big three.
Yeah, well, I guess the medical staff know best. I don't think they would have risked him. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell, but I'd probably just be critical. They didn't really put them away. They had their chances to, you know, obviously they're up by a decent margin, but to really ice the game.
They shifted to it.
And a desperate side like the Cowboys were always going to hang in and fight really hard. And in the end, if you leave them close enough with long enough, and that theory got proven true, you know, they really did come home with a wet sail, the Cowboys. And, you know, even with 4 minutes to go, you probably thought, oh, well, Melbourne will cruise in here, but... Just rugby league is a game of 80 minutes, isn't it? And it just takes one or two little things to go against you. And
well, the most dreadful
way the game goes.
The most dreadful part of the night was the amount of early shifts with no momentum. They threw the ball over the sideline. I got trapped in a really bad...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bad spot near the sideline, but that to waste the play, passing back in just to settle it to get to a kick. They were shifting way too early without laying any platform. And Billy Slater chucked a few absolutely Barry Crockers on those early shifts as well.
I thought at the back end of the game they looked really fatigued, Melbourne. I thought Cowboys came home with stronger legs, whereas in recent weeks
they've only been home. Been
critical of the Cowboys being the ones who run out of gas, whereas I thought the Cowboys were the team that came home with a wet sail in this game.
Well, Melbourne's been home once in 4 weeks. They've had to travel, and you're talking Cronk, no pre-season, Smith off ankle surgery.
I'm not being critical.
No, I'm just saying, you're probably...
You know, for us saying that the Cowboys were out of gas.
No, I'm saying what you're saying. Melbourne no, just fatigued.
I've said it for the first 3 weeks. The Cowboys look fatigued, but I was surprised this week because they were the ones that came home with it.
And when you said that Melbourne look fatigued, though, I'm backing you up.
I understand those few guys have not had any pre-season. Because people are sort of saying, oh, it's the Cowboys' conditioning. Well, is it? Like, you can't really change it in a week.
They had a pre-season this time. That's why I said, yeah, I was really surprised. They even come out themselves and said we feel better than ever.
Maybe it's just errors. I just think the first few weeks,
I stuck to what I said before. Their forwards were not doing a job.
Yeah.
Last night, the last 20 minutes, when
they started to play straight in there. And when Thurston's coming onto the ball and playing at the B defender, you know that their forward pack's doing their job.
Yeah, and even Tamalolo, I was explaining this to someone last night, saying, why is he not laying the platform? When you got a strike weapon like that, you want a Scott or a Tarmow to take that hit up where you get it.
That's why they've got Scott and Tarmow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they lay that quick play of the ball for your more damaging runners to play off the back of. Yeah. You want Tamalolo coming off one of those guys, getting you a quick ruck where he can play off the back of that.
Jonathan Thurston wants Tamalolo playing the ball before he runs. So yeah, it's a chain effect. You want one of those two, as you said, the two props to take a good one. Tamalolo.
That's your weapon.
To then bang in another, and then you shift on Thurston.
But those runners, people like Tamalolo with footwork, offloads, you want them coming off the back of a quick play of the ball, not getting bashed.
I like the move to have Granville in there as well. They look faster. They look like they took advantage of some of the go-for that they managed to produce.
I'll tell you what I liked, and I said this last year before he got injured, they kind of rotated Morgan as the fullback again and put Lachlan Coote at six. Which works. I thought Coote looked good when he was at Penrith a few
days. There's absolutely no reason why they can't float in and out. Like, if that's the case, you've got three ball players.
Morgan's in the bloody Australian squad as a fullback. When he's a six, he loves running the football, but as far as organising...
they're similar positions in the fact that, people say to me, oh, well, you say either one or the other, but they're similar positions in the fact that they complement each other. Like, both players have played both positions. Both players can pass. Like, I think that's a massive advantage.
I just think the players
they move from fullback to 5'8" who can't pass. It's like you look at Billy Slater. Billy Slater, and people say, "Oh, you can move him to 5'8". Well, you couldn't. You can't move him to 5'8" because he can't pass. Billy Slater as competently as these others can.
I think he's pretty good.
I still don't. Like you look at Minicello. Minicello could have never played in the halves. They're just some fullbacks just aren't meant to play in the six. Some sixers aren't meant to play in the one. But these two have elements of both. And obviously have experience in both positions in the NRL.
I think Coote just suits six better now because he doesn't have the toe that he used to. And then Morgan, you see Morgan last night hunt down Corabidi almost.
Mm.
Morgan's better at the back when he's got time and space because he has the speed there to run the football and slide through gaps. So when they made that change, because they looked awful in attack at the start of the game with Coote at the back and Morgan at six, once they rotated the opposite way, things started to look good. So I still don't know why they knifed Louis so early because I thought last year that him and Thurston were fine again.
I thought
they reacted way too early. But from what I saw last night, if you're going to go anywhere going forward, I'd have Coote more playing at six and Morgan at fullback still.
Mm.
Morgan didn't make the Australian squad, the Kangaroo squad at the end of the year by fluke.
Well, it doesn't also matter. The number they wear on their back, when you've got two players like that, you can structure it totally differently.
Mm.
You know, you can structure your attack to suit both those players and give them touches both at the fullback and at 5'8". That's more my point.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys got him with a couple of penalties at the end there, got to rush and get those points, and then obviously got the penalty for the rake. Couldn't really see whether the ball was raked out or not. Penny Perenara was close to the rake, didn't call anything, but the controlling ref did. But I found video today. Matt Wright got the ball off a play the ball, has run 20 metres and then offloaded to Jake Granville.
He was
20 metres in front of the play the ball, which means you're dead, technically.
You're offside.
Obviously, they're not picking that up in the flow of the game, but yeah, in a general sense, that should be a penalty. But
they
kicked the field goal, they win the game. I'm not going to defend Melbourne. I thought they were very poor. They should have closed that game out with a couple of minutes
Jonathan
left.
Jonathan Thurston pumping that 35-metre field goal in normal time, crossed on what? Name me a player who really would have stepped up like he did. Like, that was going over. The sort of grabbed it. There was no second guessing. He just went right, bang, 17-all. Let's go.
Mm.
And look out the side.
Yeah, the other one, shot the sideline.
The kick before that, obviously,
and on the wrong side, right footed, right side.
Yeah, definitely.
I said this to the old man last night when we watched that. He kept saying, "Oh, these are hard." I'm like, mate, if you've watched this enough, as much as footy as we probably do, I reckon he's better from the sideline than he is. I think he struggles more from that 10 marker because of the bend. Because he has to compensate for the bend. Whenever he's on the sideline, that seems to be where he's adjusted that bend for the best.
Don't underestimate the difficulty of that kick.
I'm not, but I'm just saying, with the technique, the amount of swing he has, it seems that the sideline gives it, that perfect amount of time for him.
I thought first half the wind played a factor in his goal kicking, because he's obviously thinking, well, the wind's coming across the ground, it's going to hold up the swing on the ball, and I ended up, it didn't have that effect. But wind for goal kickers, absolute nightmare.
Mm.
From a
End of the day, this could kick start their season. And Melbourne, on the other hand,
Penrith have got a massive task down here on Monday night. That's going to be such a good game, because Penrith are just as desperate, like having lost.
Yeah, well, they're the same. They were 2-2. They're 2 wins, and now they've got 2 losses.
Yeah.
From Melbourne's point of view, I'm kind of disappointed, because you look at Melbourne. Melbourne lost in Golden Point, and then they got robbed with the 2 no-tries in that Manly game very early on. Melbourne could be 4-4.
Yeah.
So, again, you see this early part of the year, what happens. But what now, I find...
The competition is so tight.
Oh, 100%. What I find ridiculous, and I only found this out today, we're playing Manly again.
Yeah,
in only a week's time.
Penrith play the Gold Coast, and they only play them.
Manly Melbourne should not be playing 2 games this early in the year.
They shouldn't.
This is ridiculous.
No one should be.
No, but it's just on the way home, you should be having a game like that. Manly Melbourne in the last 4 rounds, and one earlier in the year. And same as when they put these big clashes like last year, Roosters Bulldogs. I think they had South Dogs, a couple of those games during the Origin period.
A no-brainer. It's a perfect advertisement for conferencing.
Yeah.
Just put them in 2 conferences and top 4 from each conference go through.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, plenty of good information. We've got to the reviews there in pretty heavy detail, and also the Fast Five will now move. Oh, well, Brock will be leaving us now, because obviously, as we know, you're out of all the punting, tipping, and all the fun stuff this year for the rugby league, and I'll be joined.
I'm saving a heap of money.
You're saving a heap of money?
A heap of money.
I hope you're drinking that money at least.
No, I'm probably spending it on the horses on Saturday, but.
Oh, Christ.
No, the game's got to have integrity, and. If that means I'm not allowed to bet, then I'm not allowed to bet.
He's gone, Skiz. But I'll be joined next
by... Mortgage is looking good anyway.
Yeah, good times. But I'll be joined next by Mr. Gossip for all the dirt and any tips he's got for this round. And we'll also give you the odds, brought to you by WilliamHill.com. Now, it's time for your weekly dose of goss from Mr. Gossip. He's here, he's clear, he had his vote on the weekend. I hope you didn't vote for Liberal.
Oh, mate, I better keep that one quiet. I might get a few abusive emails either way there.
Yeah, well, I think your job's gone. The electricity network, it's gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not good. Well,
it's all good. Louis can sing and dance for his supper. If anyone's looking to make any donations, the Shepherd Foundation, it's now open. I'll be breakdancing every day in front of Penrith Plaza for a living.
Might be selling hot dogs, mate.
Yeah, that could work. I might pull up out the front of the stadium, offer to sing a tune or two for a 5 bill or something. Maybe someone buy me a hot dog or a sausage sandwich, I'll dance.
Although you mightn't get too many buyers, mate, because crowds are down, they're saying. Worst crowds, the opening 4 rounds since 1999, so...
Not looking good. I think we're not really following the trend of the old MCG. I don't know if you saw that the other week, the slashed prices on all the food and beverages.
Yeah. I did see that, yeah.
Not much love on our side of the fence. And I saw today, I think it was the Origin tickets. Everyone's blowing up. The cheapest ones are like $80 or something.
Wow. So, yeah, there's a bit much, I guess.
Yeah, getting out of touch with the modern fan, they're saying. Not many people happy about that. I know there's only one game. That's obviously what they're hiking the prices for. But it's a bit of a kick in the guts if you're a New South Wales or a Queensland supporter.
Well, it's not all negatives. I'll tell you what, I'm loving the... Sunday afternoon live game for Channel 9. And I'm also loving Sunday night footy as well on Fox. I'm loving the Sunday night footy.
Mate, I was stoked when they said they were going to bring back Sunday night football. To be honest, as much as I do love Monday night, because it spreads out over the 4 days, if they told me tomorrow I had to pick one or the other, I'd definitely go with Sunday night football.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what, I don't mind Monday night footy because I'm a rugby league fan and it's the next game I'm watching TV.
Yeah, 100%.
But when your team's playing on a Monday night, it's hard to get to the game. It's a pain in the ass. But
well, you've hit the nail on the head. Melbourne's had 2 this year, and I've said that to Brock. It kills me because it's that weight as well. Like, the weekend's gone. Usually you go back to work. There's nothing worse than going back to work on a Monday and having to wait the long weekend to get finally watch your team play.
Yeah, it's pretty ordinary.
Mm. What's in the pipe this week, mate? Much cooking?
Yeah, there's a few things cooking, mate. We'll start over in the ditch and Warrior Sam Tompkins. Now, I've got good mail that he wants out and wants out immediately. He's homesick, that old chestnut.
Mm.
His brothers play for Wigan at the moment as well. Wigan want him back. He wants to go to Wigan, so it'll be very, very interesting to see if the Warriors let him go.
Yeah, well, he came over on a ridiculous pay packet, didn't he? $700,000-$800,000, something like that?
He did, and what did you... I don't think he's made the impact that everyone thought he would. Well, in fact, when 2 years ago we were doing the podcast, I actually said that he was a bit of a nuffy, so it hasn't surprised me that he hasn't set the world on fire.
No, well, I've slammed him since day one because he was the one comparing himself to Billy Slater and saying that he was better. So I had hate for him immediately, being a Melbourne fan. But no way he's justified that money. I thought pre-season and his first game this year, he looked very dangerous, especially in the ball-playing aspect, but I wouldn't put him in top five. He definitely hasn't accounted for that money. So on the Warriors side of things, I'd be getting on the market and parting ways with him. No worries. They've got a bunch of kids. I don't think Lola here is doing too bad back there. He obviously doesn't have the engine yet, seeing he's grown up playing in the halves, but they've got a massive, massive nest of juniors over there, and they've got some money to play with if he leaves. So I don't think they'd have too much trouble attracting somebody.
Yeah, that's right. There was the cash freed up. Surely they could sign a few more juniors and hopefully happy days for the Warriors.
100%. What else is cooking, buddy?
All right, another player that wants a release immediately, and that's Panthers' Adam Docker. Obviously hasn't played this year. He's serving a suspension, I believe, from New South Wales Cup against Newtown a few weeks ago. But look, out of favour with the Panthers and the Dragons want him ASAP, so obviously the Panthers on a charity case and they'd want some financial input to release him. There was those rumours a few weeks ago that there'd be a trade-off for Merrin, but that's completely untrue. Merrin will see out his contract at the Dragons. But, Docker could be going to the Dragons sometime soon if both parties meet.
Yeah, well, I was about to say to you, when we spoke about this earlier, the Merrin move happening this year, and we both probably agreed on that. I think the Dragons would be nuts to let him go without seeking compensation. On the Docker side of things, he's off contract. I'm sure Penrith it would be in the same boat. If they're going to lose him, they may as well lose him with some financial compensation or a junior or something if they possibly could. But I don't know. I don't know how much room they've got in the salary cap if they could try and force that move this year. But obviously, Docker's nowhere near as valuable as what Trent Merrin is. So I don't really see that coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's funny. He sort of made that dramatic rise to fame almost in Penrith, and obviously played for country in the City versus Country last year, and then just sort of disappeared. So I'm not sure what's gone on behind the scenes there, whether he's had a bad off-season or injuries or whatnot, but he's definitely on the nose.
Well, I think you look at the makeup of the back row, I don't know if it's internal, but even with the kids they've got, you know, Bryce Cartwright, Tyron Peachy, Elijah Taylor, Louis Brown, they're these more skillful players. Dockers hard as nails, but he definitely doesn't offer the skill set that Penrith seem to be going for with their back row. And the other one I touched on last year, he was a bit concussion prone. So I know that's, you know, he's only young, but concussions are a much bigger issue right now. So I thought him and Kyle Turner are two that come to mind that had a lot of head knocks last year. So I think with the way things are heading right now, I think the NRL will scratch players out a lot earlier in their careers if they continually get knocks to the head.
Yeah, I would hope so as well. But I mean, either way, I think Docker will be at the Dragons this year, or he'll be there next year. So it's just only a matter of time for him.
Yeah, well, he needs to be playing first grade. I can agree with that. But what else you got for us, buddy?
One that Brockie hates me bringing up every week, but I'm going to bring it up again, and that's Aiden Caesar and the Bulldogs. They are very keen. He's very keen. The Titans are, you know, obviously not keen to let him go, but from my mail, it's looking pretty good. But
well, this makes me a very happy boy because he offered me all the money in the world that he wouldn't leave the Titans, and I've told him the whole time that he was talking to Sydney clubs and that he needed to face facts. He'd be heading back home, and the Bulldogs, a logical decision. They made the mistake of not believing his manager when he finished under 20s when they said that they had other offers. They played with fire and they got burned. He left and they were severely unhappy about it, and look how he's turned out. With that dominant side they've had, the two grand finals they've played in, I've said both times they were missing a half to probably get him across the line. Aiden Caesar could have been that player. So,
yeah, for sure.
In this circumstance right now, if you were to bring him back, we've seen him buy, you see Caesar, I'd prefer both of those players over Josh Reynolds.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what, it'd be good to see him get back to Belmore as he played through his juniors there, so it'd be a natural fit, I would think.
Oh, he was a standout in a very, very bright side. They had Josh Jackson, Dale Finucane himself, Nathan Massey's a name. I don't know if a lot of people know. He played a couple of games at Canberra after he left. Sam Cassiano, they had a very, very loaded under 20 side, but he was a key figure in that, and SG Ball and also Harold Matthews. So if he's homesick, as they say, and I hear he's been looking for houses, I'm sure the Bulldogs are the number one priority, not Manly or anyone else who's been involved.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything else, champion?
Yeah, you just mentioned Sam Cassiano. You guys have probably heard or read him. We posted on the page that he's extended his deal for 3 more years at Belmore, so I guess it's a good sign for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I've been more impressed, I suppose, this year than I have the last couple of years. He obviously had the huge, huge year, the grand final year, inside that huge deal, and the year after he was very disappointing. Injuries, overweight, penalties. Last year, a bit in and out again, I was kind of disappointed. And when there was talk of him being let go or transferred, for the money he was on, I was pretty keen for it to happen, considering. But with the third-party deals and the never-ending salary cap, the amount of money they seem to have there, he's been pretty good these first few rounds. He seems like he's trimmed down. He set up a couple of ripper tries as well, so it's definitely not a bad move by them if he's going to stay in this kind of nick and play some good footy.
Yeah, unlimited third party at that club. Don't get me started.
Some big deals, some very big deals.
Yeah. All right, last one for the night, mate. Be keen to get your thoughts on this, and that's Slater, obviously going to finish his career at Melbourne. It's only a matter of time. No big news there, but look, I don't know if he's worth the $850,000 price tag anymore. You're a Melbourne Storm fan. Is he still worth the $850,000?
Well, this is the one thing that I'll pride myself on, unlike anyone who's just completely and utterly one-eyed and will blow up and say, oh, they should pay him whatever he wants. I wouldn't give him $850,000. Not at this point in time. If anything, I know we've grown Proctor, Harris, Bromwich, and we've got some weapons there, Chambers, but I still think we could use a little bit of extra money so we don't have to bring in players like Lars and these roll-of-the-dice guys on minimum wage every year to try and patch up a top 25. I know these guys have been long-serving and they definitely deserve every penny they get, but also on the flip side, they've had a lot of rep money. They've been paid pretty well the whole way through. You'd like to think they'd take some kind of pay cut and maybe let us have some more money to play with, but I don't know the exact figure. I'm not sure if you do as to how much of a discount they get. Is it a couple of hundred thousand when they've been there for 10 seasons or 8 seasons or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's not a hell of a lot.
Yeah, so they may lose a bit off the top, same as they did with Smith and same as they did with Kronk, but yeah, that's still a substantial amount of money for a fullback who's turning 31 years old.
Yeah, you'd like to think that the club has its eye on the future, not just the next 2 years, but would be hard to let someone like Billy go. But look, these are just figures that have been thrown up in the media at the moment, that it's $850,000. I'm sure we'll know more about it when he signs. It's only a matter of time when he does.
Yeah, well, I think one thing, I'm not 100% sure, it's hard when you up it this way, but with our new owners and the amount of sponsorship we have, I know we don't have a massive amount of third parties, but I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be too bad off as far as third parties are concerned. I don't know how much they'd be able to tuck away. Not exactly a Bulldogs or a Roosters kind of setup, but I'd like to think that's, you know, that and the loyalty discount will help out somewhat, because otherwise, yeah, that's a lot of money to be tied up in a few senior citizens.
Yeah, well, they're a one-team town. Yes, it's AFL territory, but it's still a one-team town. They still get good crowds. And let's not forget Billy Slater's a Queensland legend. So I'm sure there's some companies up in Queensland that could do with some third-party work from Billy. So, yeah, I wouldn't write off a third-party solution.
No, and on top of that, like you said, they've been a very successful brand. They've been taken over by, you know, very successful businessmen who are involved in Manchester City and a $50 million advertising agency. So I don't know what exactly they've got dug up, but we seem to have a lot more sponsor stamps on our uniforms this year. Crown Casino knocked the bloody Thunderbolts off our jersey, so I don't know how the money, I don't know how the third parties are doing, but I'm hoping the discount as well as some third parties might take a bit of the sting off, because we need more help for the top 25, that's for sure.
Bingo, yep, I agree.
Well, that's everything, champion.
That's it, son.
Alrighty then. I will bust out the WilliamHill.com odds. As I've explained before to everybody out there, if you were with SportingBet.com, you still have the same account. It's just William Hill now. William Hill were the backers of Centrebet, TomWaterhouse.com, and SportingBet.com, but they've obviously put their main name on the number one brand, which was Sportingbet. So WilliamHill.com. We've got the odds this week. We'll start the tips. Gossip, last week you got 4. I got 2. I had an absolute Barry Crocker of a round. The Storm last night, they knifed me. Who else did I tip? Bloody, there was a lot of games. Penrith let me down. Manly let me down. It wasn't a good weekend. Not happy days. Even the Sharks, they've lost 9 in a row at the Prison. What's wrong?
I did like Robert's runaway try, though, waving at Gordon as he chased in vain. That was beautiful.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to have to call it the playground. It's not the Prison anymore, because everyone's going there and getting a W. Nine losses in a row in the Prison, that's not very dangerous.
Yeah, no, it's not good. And I actually put something up this afternoon. It's, what, four losses in a row now for the coach, Flanagan, and 5 in a row if you count the semi-finals a few years ago. And does he deserve to be under pressure? I guess he does. You know, it's results-driven business, as we always hear. And to be 4-0 is just, it's not good, especially when we've got no main sponsors. And, yeah, there's got to be a lot of pressure on him, I would think.
Well, you've got that, and you've also got the whole when Flano comes back. He's back now. He said he was happy that he got Beal, Barber, Bird, and he felt like Ennis, he had the right players to move forward, and they're playing like absolute spades. So you'd have to think, yeah, you'd have to think the pressure's coming. But that boys' club, you know, sponsorship for a bloke who's done a lot, built the gym, got money into the club. I also look at the other side of it. Who would Cronulla seek out to take that job? You know, Steve Price is there. Christ, you wouldn't hand him the reins.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, and I don't think there's many other takers on the market that would go to a club that potentially doesn't have full use and best financial state. So I think Flano might be safe looking at it from the other side of the fence.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, you got 4, I got 2. So you're now on 15, I'm on 12. You've already busted out a bit of a gap. I'm a bit worried. You know what I'm like. I'll get the whip out early and just give myself enough rope to get hung. But we kick things off. There's 2 games on Good Friday. We start with the blockbuster. It's the grand final rematch. It's the Bulldogs versus South Sydney at ANZ Stadium. After watching South last week, I thought they'd be able to handle losing Dylan Walker. You know, I thought the halves would step up and take control, but they were somewhat absent. Parramatta with their ad-lib football seemed to play over the top of him, and Joel Reddy, as he characteristically does, made a couple of errors, and Parramatta just got home. So I think looking at that edge still being the same, and the Bulldogs being a massive side, been able to match in the middle, I'm going to go the Bulldogs, even though they've kind of limped home for a couple of wins. I just feel that they're starting to build nicely.
Wow, yeah, well, they got a late one, didn't they, the field goal, the Bulldogs, and you said South lost last week. But yeah, well, Parramatta, to me, when I watched them beat the Rabbitohs, it didn't really seem to have much of a game plan. As you said, it was just more ad-lib football. I think we did say a couple of weeks ago that South were eventually going to have a bludger of a game in them. I think that was it. I think they'll bounce back against the Bulldogs. I can't see the Premiers losing 2 in a row. I'm going to go to the Bunnies.
Yeah, well, I reckon we might get pretty close to the field goal finish we saw last year, but if you like me and you like the Bulldogs, they are outsiders at home at ANZ Stadium. It's both their home ground, so it doesn't really matter. But $2.45 about the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. $1.56 from WilliamHill.com for South Sydney. The line is at -4.5. That gets you $1.91. I like Canterbury 1-12. That pays you $4.05. So, yeah, not too bad odds there. But the second game on the Friday night is the Queensland Clash. It's the Gold Coast Titans going home to play the Brisbane Broncos. Birdie's back on board. Taylor's back on board. They've looked a little bit more enthusiastic the last couple of weeks with those guys back. Falloon obviously gets suspended, so he's going to be out. And I think the Broncos are starting to come along a little bit. Milford's getting a bit more involved. Ben Hunt's really controlling things. I know Justin Hodges is going to be out, but I'm going to stick with the Broncos in this one. What about yourself?
Yeah, tough one. The Broncos, they played well last weekend, but they did play the Warriors, and it was a typical Warriors performance by them, so it was a hard sort of measuring stick that game. I'm going to go to the Broncos, but not by many. The Titans have put in most games they've played, they got smacked by the Panthers, but I think that was more of a referee than the Panthers beating him in the end. But yeah, I think of the Broncos, but as I said, not by many.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Bar that Penrith game, they did get blown out, but they were denied 2 early tries. They've been in every game of football regardless. So I don't know whether that's the situation that's bringing them together or whether Neil Henry's brought a bit of steel about the place, but they're definitely fighting. I thought the young half, Kane Elgy, last week, he looked pretty good. So if Caesar's going to be leaving, they definitely need to get him locked in so Manly don't take him and don't have both those halves walk out the door so Cherry Evans doesn't have a partner. But if you're like us and you think the Titans do have a chance, William Hill are offering $2.45 about the Gold Coast Titans at home. The Brisbane Broncos, $1.56, in the same line as the game before, -4.5. $4.05 for 1-12 for the Titans. If you like the Broncos 1-12 or 13+, that gets you $3.15 or $2.90. But we move on to Saturday. There's two games on Saturday. We got Manly versus the Raiders, and this one's in Albury, if I'm not mistaken. That's a bit of a random location, but the Raiders, I thought, have been in every game bar the one they played on the weekend. They haven't quite had the finishing touches, but he's already wielded the axe. He's given Cornish a couple of games. He's not happy. Sammy Williams moves in. I'm pretty happy about this because I've been watching him play for Mounties two of the last 3 weeks, and he's been killing the New South Wales Cup. I don't ever understand why he got punted so early after leading him through that finals campaign. The Eagles still got plenty of injuries, so I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to go to the Canberra Raiders.
Wow.
Yeah.
97 grand final replay. Show my age now. Look, it wouldn't surprise me the Raiders to turn things around because they were pretty hapless against the Roosters, but I'm going to go to Manly because you've gone Canberra to make it interesting. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be as one-sided as some would make out.
No, definitely not, and particularly because of the forward pack. I know Canberra have been lacking direction in attack, but we all know that Manly have been struggling with their halves getting... You can't blame the halves, but you need a platform to be able to do anything with the football. Canberra definitely don't lack big bodies. This might be a game where they get an upper hand in that regard, but if you like Manly, they're $1.60 favourite. If you like Manly, you think that the Raiders have an outside chance, $2.35 and a line of -4 about the Raiders. And the second game on the Saturday, Newcastle versus the Dragons. This will be a great occasion. They're going to play for the inaugural Alex MacKinnon Cup. It's a real nice touch for both clubs, but I think I can sum this one up very easily. Newcastle won't lose this game at home. They've been brilliant to start the season, and they didn't win this game last year. I think that they played the Titans on the day they had Rice for Alex round. I think they'll make amends for it this time around. I think they might touch up the Dragons, so I'm going to go the Knights.
Yeah, who would have thought five in a row to start the season, the Knights, good on them. I'm going to tip the Knights as well, and that's mainly because of the Alex MacKinnon flavour, and that gives them a bit extra to play for as well. The Dragons still look a bit how's your father to me in the past couple of weeks.
Mm.
If it was in Wollongong, maybe I'd give them a chance, but I think the Knights would be 5-0.
Yeah, well, I'm with you, and I think my big issue is that Benji and Widdop have got problems with each other as to who's in control and how they're going to play their game. Benji wants to throw the knockout punch on the first play and make stupid errors, and Gareth Widdop's getting pretty angry because he wants to play to the percentages. So until they sort that out, I don't think they're going to see their attack flourish too much. But I've got to give a rap to Trent Merrin. Given the circumstances and the amount of flack he's copped, he's been outstanding the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Hitting the line hard and... Yeah, look, and to his credit, all those rumours about him going to Penrith mid-season, it's definitely not going to happen. He's an honourable guy, Trent. He'll see out his contract and he'll bust his ass for the rest of the year for the Dragons.
100%. But the Knights, they're favourites, $1.45 at home. They're starting to rebuild that fortress that it used to be up there in Newcastle. The Dragons, if you like them, they're $2.80. The line is -6.5. I tend to lean towards probably Newcastle 1-12. I like that at $3.10. I think there's a possibility of a blowout, but given the emotion and the fact that he played for both clubs, I'd probably lean towards the Knights 1-12 with WilliamHill.com. We move on to Sunday. There's only one game on Sunday because of the long weekend, and I think it might be a bit of a bludger. Similar to last week, the Roosters have been served up a busted in their Cronulla Sharks, so I don't think we need to put too much thought into this one. I'm going the Chooks.
Yeah, Chooks by plenty, and 0-5 for the Sharks.
Yeah, well, I think you can almost get out that big ugly pen and put a line through them because Origin time, you know, Gallen's going to be gone. We spoke today, I don't know about you, but we're not really very well off in the front row stakes. Tarmow's been ordinary for New South Wales purposes. Probably Aaron Woods and Cade Snowden have been our two most impressive, but I get the feeling Andrew Fifita might be back in the frame as well.
Yeah, Yeah, so, I dare say so, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. You look at the Sharks on paper, they don't have the best roster. They certainly don't have the worst, and they certainly shouldn't be 5-0. It's,
nah, and
not good.
If anything, Guy agreed when I looked at the start of the year that they fixed up their one of their main problematic areas, which was the back line. Valentine Holmes is in. You know, Gerard Beal, why not being outstanding, is definitely a solid centre. He had a great year last year, tagged up with Gareth Widdop. And Ricky Latelli's really an emerging centre who I won't be surprised if he gets a bit of interest on the open market this year. So I'm really surprised that they're paddling so much, but they just really need to knuckle down and hold on the bloody footy. Most games I've watched, they just can't keep the ball.
Yeah, it's very strange. And I know a friend of the podcast is on here coaching MG. I know MG picked them for the top 8 this year. That might have been on a bit of emotion because they're in the final for the Auckland.
Yeah, well, I think everyone pretty much seemed to chuck them in at the bottom of the eight, thinking, you know, the big turnaround, all the pressure's off. But I'm not backing the hangover theory. I think they're just not playing to their potential. I think there's some guys not pulling their weight, and they need to simplify, get back to what they do best, which is just bash the crap out of the middle, kick to the corners, and pretty much wait for you to give them mistakes to try and get points. Because at the moment, they're just trying too hard with the football, and they're forcing way too many errors.
Yardage is good. It's just when they get in that red zone, they just throw it sideways and they look very, very ordinary.
Yeah, well, they've done a very big mistake in my eyes, picking up that contract of Ben Barber, which we all know is around the 800 mark. They've taken on more than half of it. I don't know why. There's no way I would have taken on that contract. So they're stuck with him now. But if you like the Roosters, they're heavy favourites, $1.17. The Cronulla Sharks, $5.15. The Lion, a massive minus 14. So... This is probably one to steer clear of, but if you think the Sharkies can do what they did last year and have that miracle win 2 weeks in a row against the Roosters and the Broncos, 1-12, they'll give you a value of $6.50. But if you like the Roosters 13+, you only get $1.72. So maybe one to steer clear of. But a blockbuster Monday here for the Easter long weekend. We've got a triple header. I dare say I'll be sitting on the couch in my underpants drinking beers watching every single one of these games. But it kicks off at ANZ Stadium, the Tigers versus the Eels. This was an absolute cracker match last year, and this is two teams on the rise as well.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I had a look at the games before we went on air, and this is one I really couldn't pick. The Eels traditionally win one, lose one, win one, lose one. As you said, both up and covers, I picked the Tigers to be in my eight this year instead of the Eels. Yeah, you know what, bugger it. I'm going to go to the Tigers. The fact that the Eels struggled to put back-to-back wins together.
Yeah, well, I was talking myself into the Eels because of the ad-lib football, and then I thought, well, the Tigers don't mind chucking it around. I really like the forward pack, and then I saw that Aaron Woods was back in this week as well. So going off the fact that the Parramatta Eels had more injury problems and more suspensions to deal with, I think I'm going to lean towards the Tigers with you. I can't believe that Parramatta is still staying afloat with all the issues they've got, but Brad Arthur, what an amazing coach, and I think this will be a great game.
Oh, without doubt, in the top four coaches in the game, Brad Arthur.
Yeah, he's doing a great job there, but if you like the Parramatta Eels, they're $1.80 favourite, so a bit of value there for your gossip with williamhill.com. You get $2.02 for the mighty West Tigers. The line minus 1.5, so that's, you know, still again not too bad a value, just a conversion. I tend to think Tigers again in a tight one, 1-12, you get $3.65 about that. If you like the Parramatta Eels, 1-12, you get $3.45. If the Tigers could cause a blowout, $4.15. But the second game on this Easter Monday is usually the Anzac Day game and usually a cracker. I've been down there for it twice, but it's the Melbourne Storm versus the New Zealand Warriors. They don't fear going to Melbourne, the Warriors. Ngani Lamape is back in this week. They've still got a massive injury list, but there's just something about when we play each other. Either we dominate structurally or they run all over us, and I just have a feeling that the Warriors will get one over us this week. I don't know why, but I'm tipping against the Storm. I'm going to back the Warriors.
Yeah, it's always an interesting game. Quite a few times if you look in the crowd, you'll see big Kiwi fellas with Storm jerseys and Warriors hats. They love both clubs, so it's always a good atmosphere. I can't bring myself to sit the Warriors, especially on last week's happenings. They're patchy, they're in the game, they're out of the game, there's no concentration. Yeah, I'm going to tip Storm at home, but as you said, it's always a ripper.
Yeah, and I tell you what, we were right. As soon as we went against the Cowboys, they bloody won. It was always going to happen. This is exactly the same time 2 years ago. They were in a slump and Melbourne were 3 from 3 and then they towed us up by 20 at home. Last night they jagged that. I was heartbroken sitting there on the couch. But Melbourne this week, they're $1.41 favourite at home. If you like me and you like the Warriors, you get $2.95 minus 7.5. I think I might take a plunge at that line, that's for sure. I think they'll be a lot better than a two-try victory. 1-12, $4.55 also on the Warriors. That looks pretty enticing to me. But it finishes off Monday again at Pepper Stadium. Bust out the Shakers. It's the Penny Panthers. They started off very well. Bit flat the last 2 weeks. And a couple of changes again this weekend against the Cowboys, who Melbourne seem to have played back into form. I have to lean towards the Cowboys. Once they got that win, well, the emotions turned around. They seemed to fire up that last 20 minutes in particular and look like the team you'd expect them to be. Penrith, I'm not quite sure what to make of the last 2 weeks. They really haven't earned the right to throw their footy around, but they look like they're playing Oztag. They just went side to side on the weekend. They didn't look like they wanted to crash into the line and lay a platform. So it is at home, but I'm going to back the Cowboys in 2 weeks in a row.
Well, it hurts me to say it. I'm going to go to the Cowboys as well. The Panthers obviously play that panic style of football where they try and run the forwards ragged, but that sort of gameplay doesn't work if you haven't got a kicker, and they really miss out on kicking game. Kitey's out this week, so there's no go forward really there for the Panthers. Nigel Plummer's back, but he's not a meter eater. He's more of a big hit kind of guy. The biggest thing that worries me about Penrith is the right edge defence. Mansour and Idris look like they have no idea what's going on. A lot of tries down that side against the Roosters and on the weekend against the Knights. So hopefully Ivan fixes that up, because they look pretty stupid and pretty embarrassing watching them two try and communicate in defence. So I'll tip the Cowboys, and Cowboys probably 13 plus too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm kind of with you there. I get the inkling. Not just off the last 2 weeks, but there's a few changes again for the Pennies, and if they're not willing to engage in the middle, the Cowboys seem to have got back to doing what they needed to be doing that last 20 minutes. If Taumalolo, Scott, these guys turn up and they just ram raid the ruck, and in particular, Granville, I'm not his biggest fan defensively because he's small, but I tell you what, when he gets a quick play the ball, he just goes straight ahead. I think they might be able to give Penrith some trouble.
Yeah, I think in Ivan's defence... Penrith really, they have to play that sort of scattered attack because they don't have big men to punch up the middle. There's no real big boppers, so he kind of has to stick with his game plan. But as I said, without a kicking game, it looks pretty useless. And they've got Isaac John back again this week, so God knows if he's going to turn up.
Yeah, we'll have to see how he goes. If you like Penrith at home, they're $1.56. The Cowboys, great value. $2.45 outsiders with William Hill, so jump on there if you like a piece of that. I think that's where I'll be heading. Minus 4.5 again. I do like the value there at $1.91. What else we got here? 1-12 is $4.05 for the Cowboys, but you said 13 plus, $5.50, so if you're pretty confident on that one, you know, bust out a pineapple or maybe a tomato, the old $20 bill, and jump on to www.williamhill.com. Formerly known as sportingbet.com. Nothing's changed, just the name. That's all the odds from them for this round. Gossip, we've got our tips. There's a real possibility I'm going to be lagging well behind after this round if you grab the four extras, which you probably will. I could be in a world of hurt. We might have to ring the bell, you know, before halfway.
We'll see, man. I usually start well and finish pretty poorly, so...
It's a bit weird not having three of us. The two-horse race is a bit odd.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing, but, you know, it is what it is, and
yeah.
We'll make him jealous anyway.
Yeah, well, I'll box out. He's under the old integrity unit rules now that he's moved up in the world, and he's a bigger, better person than us, so, you know, he's too good for gambling and all this low-breed stuff, so damn you, Brock, wherever you are right now.
I'm a bit disappointed we didn't rip into him. Usually when he's not in, we rip into him.
Oh, well, we might as well now when we're finished and hopefully listen to it later on.
I wouldn't dare do it to his face. He'd kill me.
Oh, I would. I got a bigger head out of us too, so even if he punches it, he's more likely to break his hand before he does any damage.
Very good.
You sold out, Brock. You're not here. You sold out.
That's right.
Too good for the show. And Gossip, he lives too far away, so he can say whatever he wants. He agrees. You sold out.
Then a few Captain Morgans first.
All righty, mate. No worries. Thanks as always for coming on and give us the goss. Hopefully... the tips work out nicely and you get a nice lead, and enjoy your Easter weekend, mate. Have a beer for me.
Thanks, brother. See you next week.
No worries, mate. Have a good one. A big thanks, as always, to Mr. Gossip, and that wraps us up for this week. You got the Fast Five. You got the reviews of the matches. We gave you our previews, the gossip, our tips, and all the odds brought to you by WilliamHill.com, formerly known as SportingBet.com. As I said, just the name's changed, but if you had an account with SportingBet, it has moved over with WilliamHill.com. Enjoy the football this weekend. A very happy Easter to everyone in your families. Best wishes. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the rugby league. And also, as I've said before, audioboom.com. It is the home of the fifth and last NRL podcast. So make sure you hop onto Audioboom, follow us on there, sign up, and keep sharing the podcast with your friends. We've had a bit of a nice growth to start the year off, but they're always looking to grow and expand. If you have anyone out there who loves their rugby league, loves the football and is a diehard just like we are, hook them up with this show. And also, if you follow the New South Wales Cup, a bit of interesting one. If you know, we got our 20s, we get some exposure, but if you do follow the New South Wales Cup, go on to www.radiohub.com. They have live New South Wales Cup games commentated on Saturdays every weekend. I'm now a part of that call team. I've been calling it thanks to Albie Tirico, Curtis Woodward, Matthew French, of the 81st Minute, MacArthur, Brecky, Rugby League Rap, and all those blokes. They're a great bunch of guys. So if you do feel like you miss out on getting coverage of your New South Wales Cup team that feeds to your NRL side, Saturdays on RadioHub.com, brought to you by Steel Sports. We commentate New South Wales Cup games. So check that out if you're interested. But for now, guys, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Bring it on. Give us more. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it? Is that it?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.